do. It's going to be a little less exciting than watching Joe move around, ad-libbing as he does so well. But we'll try and keep it lively. The gospel reading for the sermon comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was here before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Welcome on this first Sunday in the new year. Did you know that New Year's Day is the one holiday that is almost universal? It is the world's most observed holiday. I trust you've made your New Year's resolutions, one of which is to be in church each week. If so, well done. For this first Sunday, you're on your way to keeping that resolution. I won't ask you if you've resolved to lose the weight you gained between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or if you're planning on joining a health club, or if you're going to run 5 miles a day. 5 miles, by the way, is probably my total of a lifetime of running, not one of my strong suits. I often remember what a fellow once told me about New Year's resolutions. He would say, "Don't worry about keeping those. New Year's resolutions? You only have to deal with them until February, and then you can give them up for Lent." I think many of us make New Year's resolutions with that in mind, and if that's the case, what's the use of making them at all? Resolutions are good, especially if there are changes we need to make in our lives. I heard about one poor guy who dialed his girlfriend and got the following recording. "I'm not available right now, but thank you for caring enough to call. I'm making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep. If I don't return your call, you are one of the changes." It's good to make changes for the most part. As we are often reminded by our critics, our spouses, or our children, none of us are perfect. In fact, some of us might have some deep regrets about the way we've lived our lives. I once read about a guy in Fredericksburg, Virginia. He was convinced people could get rid of their regrets. So each New Year's, he would set up a booth there in Fredericksburg where those celebrating New Year's Eve can come for a moment of sober reflection. Put the emphasis on sober reflection. Those who come write their regrets on a scrap of paper. Then they set a match to them and turn them to ashes in an adjacent canister. Literally, their regrets go up in smoke. At least, that's the general idea. We could do that. We could make a resolution of realization
and write our regrets on a piece of paper and bring them to the altar, light them, and watch them go up in smoke. That might be very therapeutic for some of us as we begin a new year. But our text for today from the Gospel of John puts the emphasis not on our past, but on our future. Not on our regrets, but on our possibilities. Let me read just a few selected verses from this magnificent passage again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. What a positive theme for the new year. The introduction to John is focused not on what we have been or even what we are now. Rather, it focuses on what we can yet be. As John says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Isn't that what you really want as you begin this new year? To know deep in your heart that you can be more than you are today. That you have a right to become a child of God. Isn't that what you really want? To know that you can live the next 365 days confidently aware that your life matters. To know that God is with you and that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. All of us have unrealized potential. That's the first thing these words say to me. We are children of the dust who have the potential to be children of God. When each of us came into the world, we brought with us an amazing amount of potential. Someone tells of seeing a young man pedaling around a college campus on a bicycle. He was wearing a t-shirt, and on the t-shirt was lettered, "I'm going to be a doctor." There was also a sign on the back of the beat-up old bicycle he was pedaling. It proclaimed, "I'm going to be a Mercedes." There was a young man who understood his potential. As an example of the potential each of us brought into the world, I found a story of the origins of the Suzuki method that has helped millions of children learn to play the violin. It begins with a Japanese teacher, musician, and instrument maker named, of course, Suzuki. Suzuki had two moments in his life when he gained life-changing insights. Two moments when he committed to resolutions of realization of how all people have potential. Suzuki's first revelation came when he was visiting a building that served as a giant incubator for thousands of Japanese songbirds known as larks. The breeders of these larks take literally thousands of eggs and incubate them in giant, warm, silent halls that act as a gigantic nest. There's only one sound that the tiny songbirds hear as they break through the shells of their eggs. It is the sound of another lark, a very special adult lark, that is chosen because of its singing ability. Suzuki noticed to his amazement that every little chick that hatched automatically began to copy the master singer lark. Even more remarkable, after a few days, he observed that each chick, having started out by purely copying songs, began to develop its own variations on the original master song. The breeders wait until the chick musicians have developed their own styles and then select from them the next master singer, and so the process continues. Astounding, thought Suzuki. If a bird's tiny brain can learn so perfectly, then surely the human brain, with its vastly superior abilities, should be able to do the same and better. This line of reasoning led Suzuki to his next revelation, that every Japanese child learns to speak Japanese. When Suzuki pointed this out to his friends, they laughed and assured him that they already knew that. "But no," declared Suzuki, "they really do, and it's amazing." Suzuki was correct. Like Newton before him, he had discovered something that was so obvious, no one could see it, that any baby born in any country automatically learns within 2 years the language of that country. This means that every normal baby's brain is capable of learning millions of potential languages. Think about that a few moments, and you will realize what an amazing thing that is. Given the proper environment, the human creature is capable of acquiring an amazing amount of information and skills in a short time. It is truly sad that so much of this potential is neglected. And by the way, parents should not give up on a child who seems lacking in potential. Albert Einstein couldn't speak fluently even when he was 9 years old, and his parents actually thought that he might be mentally challenged. Children develop differently, and children are gifted in different ways. You and I came into this world having enormous mental and physical potential, much of which is never realized. John's gospel is helping us to realize something more. We also have enormous untapped spiritual potential. Now, this is a concept that many of us will not quite grasp, but it's so vitally important. Notice the text doesn't say that Christ came into the world so that we can improve our IQ, or that we'd be able to run the 440 in record time. It says that whoever receives Christ and believes on his name has the potential to become a child of God. What does that mean? It means that you and I have the potential to be like Christ. We have a potential within our hearts and souls for peace, a potential for joy, a potential for hope, a potential for love, a potential for forgiveness that is greater than we can possibly imagine. Try to grasp the significance of that truth. We no longer have to live lives filled with inner conflict, anger, resentment, fear, hatred, guilt, or rejection. By the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can become new people, God's people. Maybe as fellow believers, you've seen this. Sometimes when someone is converted, immediately they begin to follow Christ. Then again, sometimes it happens very slowly over time. But know this, you and I can be more than we are. And it doesn't depend on our background. It doesn't depend on our physical or mental limitations. It doesn't depend on our age. Many older people find themselves slowing down physically and sometimes even mentally. But there's no slowdown in our ability to be children of God. This is a gift from God that never fades and never fails. It's a gift. The right to be children of God is not something we earn. It's a gift from a loving, merciful God. Note again John's words. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's not a matter of how often we come to God's house. It's not how often we read our Bibles. It's not how often we pray. We don't earn the right to be children of God. It's a gift. I hope you begin this new year with a resolution to open the gift that never fades or fails. The realization that you can be an heir to the throne, a child of God. You can make and keep a resolution of realization, not because of anything you have done, but because of what Christ has done in your behalf. You have enormous potential physically and mentally. You have even greater potential spiritually. You have the right to become a child of God. As we read in the Gospel of John, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And indeed, by your belief in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. Start this new year with a resolution of realization. You can have the right to live like Christ, the right to have God as your Father, your counselor, your guide. Start this new year with a resolution of realization, aware of who you are and to whom you belong. In his service, Pastor Joe, that was his sermon for today. Thank you for listening.